A sound mind. Paul tells us that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. We therefore know that if our minds are not sound, it is not God's will. There is also the implication that fear could be at the root of any lack of power, love, or soundness of mind that we might experience. The Apostle John tells us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. As I have recorded in several of these contemplations, I myself have struggled with fear, anxiety, and tendencies toward depression. Several members of my family have suffered from psychological problems and been admitted to psychiatric wards. My mother and two siblings were diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. We have several scriptural instances of lack of soundness of mind. We see King Saul being troubled by an evil spirit from the Lord as the spirit of the Lord departed from him. And we see David being summoned to play the harp to drive away the evil spirit. Of course, as already stated, I believe evil spirits to be manifestations of our personal fears, not separate beings coming into us from the outside. James tells us that God does not tempt us with evil. But the Old Testament law god, Yahweh, was believed to be the source of whatever happened, whether good or evil. We know that Saul brought his problems upon himself, as do we all, by his own refusal to heed the voice of the Lord. But that is subject for another study. Other instances in Scripture of lack of soundness of mind are Nebuchadnezzar, whose pride brought him low, and the Gadarene maniac, whom Jesus restored to his right mind. In each of these instances, restoration of mind was available. But now we have an epidemic of Alzheimer's disease, for which we are told by the medical profession that there is no cure. I'm quite sure the scientific community couldn't have offered no hope for the instances cited above either. But they were not treated as mere physical problems, as is Alzheimer's. They were spiritual problems being physically manifested, as I believe all physical maladies to be, but of course cannot prove. Are we who know and believe that Jesus bore our diseases in his own body on the cross, that we were healed by the stripes of Jesus, that God wants us to prosper and be in health, that Jesus never refused to heal anyone who asked for healing and believed he could heal them? Are we to just accept the prophecy of doom pronounced by the medical profession on everyone they diagnose with Alzheimer's or any other disease for that matter? We know that there was no cure for leprosy either, and yet Naaman was healed, as were all the lepers who came to Jesus for healing. King Asa died with a disease of his feet because he sought not the Lord, but rather the physicians, while the woman with the issue of blood received healing when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment after spending all her money on the physicians with no results. It might be worth noting that Luke, who recorded this, was himself a physician, who obviously knew the limitations of his profession, but knew also that nothing was impossible to God. It might also be worth noting that we are supposed to be living under a better covenant with better promises than any of those people mentioned above. In Jeremiah we read, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And Jesus said that with God all things are possible, as well as, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Are the words of the doctors to carry more weight than the words of Jesus? Are we to accept, as orthodoxy has, that we are now in a dispensation where healing may come from the Lord, but we can't count on it? We pray for healing and ask others to pray with us, but we just accept it as not being God's will when the person isn't healed. Are we to exalt science over the promises of God? Are we to accept that man lost his dominion in the Garden of Eden and that even the cross of Jesus couldn't restore it? Are we to just hang on the best we can during our sojourn on this earth until some disease comes to claim us so that we can be released into heaven? Dare we believe that God's grace is sufficient for whatever comes our way, not just sufficient for us to endure, but to overcome? Mightn't we be like the King Joash, who could have received more of the Lord had he only expected more? Or are we willing to get along with God and hear what the Spirit is saying about what might be hindering our receiving that which we are asking for? Of course, we know, bottom line, that we are not believing that we receive when we pray. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But we need the Spirit to reveal to us why we're not believing that we receive. Maybe we, like Thomas, just refuse to believe until we see. But Jesus said to Thomas and to us, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Maybe we just don't yet believe that what science says is impossible is possible with God. Once, when seeking healing for what the medical profession said was incurable, I heard this scripture spoken to me by the Spirit. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. As soon as I heard and responded, I did indeed receive healing. Maybe, like the rich young ruler, I do hear what the Spirit tells me is hindering me, but am unwilling to act on what I hear, unwilling to do that which is required for me to obtain what I desire. Perhaps I am enjoying the attention, the feelings of being loved, and the freedom from responsibility that I'm getting when I'm ill, and therefore don't really wish to be free of the illness, even though I say that I do. Am I willing to have this spoken to me? I had a sister who was able to hear this and get up from what appeared to be her deathbed to live several more years. Am I willing to hear and respond to whatever the Spirit tells me might be hindering my believing that I receive when I pray, guaranteeing that I will have what I'm praying for? It is one thing to pray and listen and obey for myself. Praying for someone else is a different matter, and one on which I feel I still lack revelation. Revelation that we all need when praying for our loved ones who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, because many of them are at a place where they are already incapable of doing this for themselves. But again, we have much encouragement from the Scriptures. When the man sick of the palsy was let down from the roof for Jesus to heal, Jesus said that it was the faith, the belief that Jesus could and would heal him, of the four men who brought him there, when Jesus saw their faith, that enabled the man to receive healing. The centurion came to Jesus on behalf of his servant, who was also sick of the palsy, and was commended by Jesus for his great faith. Actually, people were always being brought to Jesus to receive healing, or Jesus was brought to them, as in the case of Peter's mother-in-law and all the people that he raised from the dead. People were also placed where Peter's shadow could overshadow them and had placed upon them articles of clothing from Paul's body. In both instances, all the people were healed. Jesus promised that we would do the works that he did, and he also told us that we who believe would have signs following us, one of which is that we will lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Isn't he asking us the same question he asked Martha at the tomb of Lazarus? Believest thou this? Do we believe what Jesus said or what the doctors tell us? I'm writing this not to condemn myself or anyone else, but rather, like Peter, to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. God has given us all pure and sound minds, not taken them away from us by Alzheimer's or any other affliction. Dare we believe this and begin pressing into God, not being double-minded about it, but asking God for the wisdom that we now need to proceed and know with a certainty that we will receive that wisdom liberally? Let us begin to cooperate with the Spirit of God in us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I know that I am not the only one who is groaning as I watch those I love losing the sound mind given to them by God. Let us agree together that we will devote ourselves to listening to the Spirit inside, hearing and obeying whatever the Spirit is saying to us, the church, as we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watching God do that which is impossible to man, but not at all difficult for God. Restoring the minds of those we bring to Him, just as He did when He walked the earth.